The following sermon was delivered to the New Covenant Presbyterian Church, PCA, in Selma, Alabama.
Please turn to Colossians 1:15-20. As we look at this wonderful passage, what appears to be perhaps a hymn or some lyrics or some verses that the Apostle Paul inserted and used for his purposes in his letter to the Colossians. But it also answers a question that I wanted us to think about today, and that is, what did the Apostle Paul think about Jesus in his letters? And of course, in his sermons in Acts, we can answer this, but this is one place in his letter to the Colossians where we do see that. I'm going to read Colossians 1:15-20. We begin with the word he, and the word he is referring to Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is God's word. Let us pray. Father, it is our prayer this morning as we do indeed walk this holy ground of these words describing our Lord Jesus. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As I mentioned in the prayer, this week we were invited to consider the wonder of God, the Creator, through that eclipse. When I was with some of the boys watching a DVD called What's in the Bible, it was just going over the fact that this was not planned to be in this sermon, but every second the sun gives off the energy of a trillion nuclear bombs. Every second. God just spoke. Sun, be there. And there it was. And there's that DVD also discussed how many other suns there are. Well, that's a wonder, isn't it? But I had another analogy I wanted to use to begin this morning. I've used this before. If this one sheet of paper, the thickness of it, let's consider that the thickness of this sheet of paper is the distance from the earth to the sun. That's 92 million miles. Imagine this thickness is 92 million miles. That blows our minds right there, doesn't it, to start us off. Now, that's the earth to the sun. From the earth to the nearest star, the stack of paper would be 70 feet high. 70 feet high. If this is the distance from the earth to the sun, the earth to the nearest star would be 70 feet high. Again, using this as our gauge, the thickness of this sheet of paper, the diameter of our galaxy, just our little galaxy where we live, would be 310 miles high, the stack of paper, simply describing the diameter of our galaxy. Jesus holds it all together. Jesus, he holds it all together. Today we're going to think on the fact that Jesus is the Father's agent. An agent is someone who does something on behalf of another. And I'm using, in a sense, human language and human analogies, but I think it's a fair thing. It helps us understand Jesus is the Father's agent. Just like the last few weeks, there's going to be an accumulation of things this morning. I'm going to actually say seven things right now that Jesus is the Father's agent that we see in this passage. There's probably more. Then I'm going to give a moment or two to some of these as we go this morning. Jesus is the Father's agent in revelation. He's the Father's agent in creation. The Father's agent in sustaining everything. He's the Father's agent in the new creation. That is, I'm referring to the church. He's the Father's agent of resurrection. The Father's agent in salvation. The Father's agent in reconciliation. The Apostle Paul has a high view of Jesus. We see it in this passage. Before discussing who Jesus is, he has reminded us in verses 12 and 13, we should be thankful because he's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son. The Father has transferred us, all who've trusted in Jesus, into the kingdom of his Son. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And that's such a wonderful thing, Paul had to stop and insert now these wonderful things about Jesus. Jesus is the Father's agent in Revelation. 15a, he's the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. It's not hard for us to think about images. We have images on coins, reminding us of an important person in the history of our country. That's an image. We have photos show us images. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We're told God is a spirit. In Jesus, we see him. He brings up this idea again, and so I'll go on there in verse 19. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So I'm using the word revelation. In Jesus, we see God. He's not just God's equal. He is equal. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. But he's the exact representation of God. He reveals to us who God is. In Christ, we see God's nature, his character. That's the wonder of the Gospels and why they always give us fresh insight as we read them. And of course, the whole Bible is his word. Jesus, in him, we see God's goodness, his character, his qualities, his activities, who he is and what he does and his plans for us. That verse in 19 where it says, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him, just like God's glory filled the tabernacle or the temple in the days of the old covenant with bright light and with a tangible sense of his presence. So God, the Father, fills, in Christ we have the fullness of God tabernacling among us, John 1 says, living among us. In Jesus, we see God's wisdom, his power. Again, in the gospel accounts, we see him speaking a word and the dead rising. Demons fleeing. Disease fleeing. We see the glory of God. When we look at Jesus, we see God in the form of a man. Jesus is God's image. We're made in God's image. Jesus is God's image. A simple application of this is to be reading the Bible, his word. His word tells us about him. His word reveals the way of salvation, the way of sanctification, his plans for us, his expectations of us. As Max McLean says on his radio Bible, listen to the Bible. It's good for the soul. So we read the Bible, and I would encourage you, if you need to get a copy of it to listen. There's many opportunities to do that as well. But as we study the scripture, we see Jesus. And as we see Jesus, we see our Father in heaven. Jesus is the Father's agent in revelation. He's also the Father's agent in creation. He's the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. That's everything. Then he goes through these spirit thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Jesus is uncreated. He's God, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He's supreme over all creation. He's the divine Son of the heavenly monarch. That's what it means when it says firstborn over all creation. That image is to give us that image of the Son of the monarch, the one who has all inheritance are his, all rights and privileges to this vast universe that he's made are his. Again, in the Gospel of John, he tells us he's the Logos, the Word through which all was made that was made. Other places, it sees him as the instrument or the craftsman. We're studying the Proverbs off and on Wednesdays about skillful living. It was his skillful fingers as the wisdom of God that made all that we see and that made us. He's supreme as the one who, through whom it was created. He's supreme over creation. Wonder of wonders, he came from heaven to be born in Mary's womb, the Lord of all. He's completely holy. He alone has authority to judge the earth in wisdom and in righteousness and in holiness. He's supreme. He's the creator of and the authority over the spirit world. Even these spirits who have rebelled against him, they can't do anything he doesn't allow them to do, and their day will come. From him and through him and to him are all things. He's our Father's agent in creation. This tells us, among other things, we must believe in the deity, that is, that Jesus is God. That's a central truth. It's a central truth of the Christian faith, of the Christian religion. We must oppose those who say that Jesus is anything other than God. Those who say Jesus is merely a prophet or lost and going to hell. Those who wax philosophical, oh, he's a good teacher, he's a sage. He died for what he believed in. No, that's not good enough. He's the one through whom all things were created. He deserves our worship. And yes, this one was executed by crucifixion as a common criminal. So don't let anyone say God's too far away from us to understand. That very God, Jesus, was crucified. But all who believe in him may be saved. And he is the one around whom creation and around whom all of history revolves. Jesus is the Father's agent in creation. He's the Father's agent in sustaining everything. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Everything. We don't hold it together. We don't hold anything together. It's actually kind of a relief, isn't it? You don't hold anything together. Now, God gives us responsibilities. We get up each day and do our responsibilities, but we do those responsibilities because he gives us breath to breathe and the sun to shine upon us and an ability to do the things he calls us to do. But he keeps everything from just falling into confusion and disorder. An older pastor and scholar of a previous time said, he keeps the cosmos from becoming a chaos by holding it together. In him, all things hold together. If he quit holding it together, it would cease to be. The writer to the Hebrews puts it like this: in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Thank the Lord for that word of power. that upholds all things at all times. But David Garland reminds us, even those who do not acknowledge Christ's reign and those who actively oppose him, even those who do not acknowledge him and actively oppose him are entirely dependent upon him. Because Jesus is the sustainer of all life, every single soul is dependent upon him. Science is not God. Technology is not God. This booklet that my mother sent to us about the eclipse goes through all that I just said about the earth and the moon and the sun, and it says, what a coincidence! You have to laugh. I hope most people laughed when they read that. What a coincidence that the moon and the earth and the sun are just happen to be just right so we can have life. Do you see the idiocy of that? A coincidence? I'm not saying that we are angry or mean or belligerent toward folks who believe that. That's not what I'm saying. But let's admit it. That's ridiculous. That's a coincidence. And so, every single person should be thanking God every single moment. This is a real rebuke to us. I'm saying that all the unbelievers of the world ought to be thanking God every single second that they're alive. How much more for us who have His Spirit dwelling in us, that we ought to be thankful every moment for all that we have. But nevertheless, what staggering news for a world in unbelief. There's a God who made you. There's Jesus, the Father's agent in creation, in Revelation, in sustaining everything, even you. Let's never be ashamed of the name of our Creator and Redeemer. Jesus is the Father's agent of redemption. 18a, He is the head of the body, the church. We're His new creation, called together to be His people, a priesthood, called together, set apart as holy before Him. He's the agent of our redemption. We're a people redeemed for His glory and for His joy. All that we do as a church, and right here as a congregation, a specific congregation, we do in Him and for Him and through Him. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. We should be even more so. It's football season. The season is now started. For all the players, whatever their team and whatever their coach, the coaches have had things in place for the past, 8, 10 months to prepare for this season. Processes, expectations, daily tasks, daily disciplines, working out, exercise, study, etc., etc. So now they can be, in a sense, little replicas of their coaches as they now go about seeking to find accomplishment on the football field. Even more so with us, we should be. We're so united. We are united. Those football players aren't united to their coach in faith. We're united to Christ. He's our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification and redemption. Jesus is the Father's agent of resurrection. 18b, He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the founder of the new humanity through His resurrection. The resurrection age burst forth. Christ has been raised from the dead. The tomb is empty. He's the first fruit. He guarantees that our bodies one day will rise from the grave and be reunited to our spirits also. He's the Father's agent of resurrection. Through Him, we have victory over death, that last enemy. He defeated death. So one aspect of His being our agent of resurrection is it guarantees our resurrection. But there's another side to it also that Paul preached to those cultured Athenians. Paul said to them, thus far the times of ignorance God has overlooked. This is his word to the world. He's overlooked times of ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Jesus' resurrection from the dead gives assurance. He's the judge of the living and the dead, of the righteous and the unrighteous. And so the call to everyone is to repent. Come to him. Don't forget, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. In him we can find rest for our souls. He's the Father's agent in salvation. In that in everything he might be preeminent, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, having risen from the dead for our justification. Our salvation is secure. We're new creations in him. The old has gone. The new has come. If all that I've said so far is true, let's remember a couple of things. Number one, don't be afraid. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to be afraid of those invisible powers that are at work opposing Christ's kingdom, because he is the conqueror. He's defeated him. He has all power and glory and dominion. Flee temptation. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He's given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. So we don't have to be afraid. When we see chaos out there around us, even when we feel chaos in our own spirit sometimes, don't be afraid. He's in control. Repent. Turn to him. Rest in him. But also remember that he saved us. He's called us together corporately to be his people. We are his people. We're his church, his new creation. We're in close relationship with him. We, and I'm saying we as us together as the church. We need him in everything. We cannot make it by ourselves. As Knox Chamberlain said, God help us if the church seeks to rule itself. Let us submit to him in everything. As we love one another, as we serve one another, as we love and serve him, first of all, but then as we love and serve one another and pray for one another. The Father's agent in revelation, creation, sustaining everything, the new creation, that is the church, the resurrection, salvation. He closes by reminding us he's the Father's agent in reconciliation. 20. Through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Our fall into sin brought corruption. Corruption to human beings, and even corruption to the created order. But through Jesus, through his incarnation, excuse me, through his incarnation and his atoning death, through his blood, the blood of the cross, God's righteousness is satisfied. Peace, reconciliation between the Creator and rebellious sinners is restored through him, to reconcile to himself all things, making peace by the blood of his cross. I've already said it, we will eventually have glorified bodies forever with which to worship him and to live. The created order itself will be restored. As far as the curse is found, so do his blessings flow. And all those in opposition to him, either willingly through submitting to Christ or unwillingly on the last day will submit to him. And so in Christ, in Jesus, we see what we sing about, an immortal, invisible, God only wise. Who is God? He's our Creator. He's our Redeemer. What is God like? In Jesus, we see his character, his mercy, his love, his wisdom, his goodness, his justice, his truth. What does God do? He saves sinners through the death of his Son, our Lord Jesus, on a cross. So if you claim to know God, but you don't recognize him in Jesus, then you don't know him. You don't know the true God. If you claim to hear God, but you don't hear him speaking in Jesus, through God's written word, then you're not listening. You're deaf to God's actual message. And so I implore you today, even as Paul implored the Corinthians and us, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Call on the name of Jesus. It's the only name given under heaven by which we must be saved. And believers, those secure in Christ this morning, remember this. Those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. He's planned it out that he would conform us to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And he will carry on his plan all the way to glory. Let's pray now in Jesus' name. We come to you, Father, through the finished work of the magnificent, exalted, wondrous prophet, priest, and king, our Lord Jesus. Apply now your word to our hearts. Change us. As you continue to make us more like him, may we bear faithful witness to Jesus in our words and in our lives. And we pray this in his name. Amen.